Mikey P with this fantastic microphone that we're using right now.
Yeah, gave it to you for your birthdays.
Dude.
And that's what you're using.
It's sweet.
It is.
It's got
sweet.
The little like anti-shock thing there that you know that reminds us of our old podcast.
I know. It made me want to bring mine. I should have brought mine. I have one that I
use. That's cool. Well, now we know. Now we're both packing condenser mics.
You could you can record all the glorious audio you want on your own now.
I'm sure. I just need to I could probably do it. I don't know if I could do it with my iPad.
But probably, because that's the cord has like a thing, right? Unless that's a brand new iPad that doesn't have headphones.
I don't know. My 7 doesn't have a headphone jack.
Oh, boo.
Yeah.
That's
weird,
though, right?
It is weird.
How often did you use your headphones, though? Probably all
not
the time.
I like to use them, but I would lose them all the time.
I use mine every day.
At work, anyway.
Like, I literally run the cord down my shirt, put one earbud in my ear, and then the other one's plugged into my phone.
Oh, I would do that, for sure. Yeah. I do that, like, when I like to walk across the park in the morning with headphones on, with music, but I forget my headphones all the time.
Yeah.
So.
It happens.
And they're easy to lose. And speaking of easy to lose, the little connection to make your old one, your new one, like an old one.
It, like, plugs into the thing?
Yeah. Yes.
Weird.
So my headphones that I got with this phone plug into the lightning jack.
To charge them?
No, to listen. And then there's also a little thing that's like this long, like an inch and a half long, that sticks in the lightning jack, and the other end is a headphone jack. So it converts it to headphones for
if you have an old set. Yours didn't come with like the wireless little ear things they're selling now?
They're not wireless, no.
The Apple ones—they come earpods, is what they're called. I think those little.
This phone came with the wired ones that stick in the lightning port.
It came with wired headphones, but yet there's no headphone jack on your phone.
Right. Yeah. The headphones. These headphones have.
Plug into the power thing.
Yep.
That's so counterintuitive, Apple. Why are you going to get rid of the headphone jack and then make a different headphone that plugs in anyway?
Don't get me started on Apple. Although I am doubling down on them yet again.
We heard you last time.
Yeah.
How you hate
Apple. I don't hate them, but they just drive me up.
You love to hate them.
But yes. I'm doubling down on them now with this new iPad that I feel like is going to be my the answer for me being semi-organized.
Computing problems.
Computing, doing hopefully like podcast producing stuff on it.
Really?
Yeah, I mean it's got GarageBand.
You can be stepping up, eh?
So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of like videos and audio that I've done over the years.
Yeah, what is it?
That's me.
That's your cord hitting the mic cord, and it's picking up on that.
That's
that
how
microphone
strong
is way too good. Mikey P, next time you buy somebody a present, make sure it's cheap and crappy, buddy?
He's like, that's just not how I roll.
Yeah, don't really do that. It's awesome. How is that making that noise? It's not
same
touching,
thing.
It's not touching anything.
It's just moving around.
That's crazy.
So I just don't touch it.
That's if you hear too much noise, it's because, again...
our equipment's too good.
Yeah, our equipment's too good. And we're recording outside again. Because in San Diego, it's crazy heat wave.
It's hotter than donkeys.
And it's way hot.
Yep.
Ooh, right, perfect timing when I say we're going outside, and then you can hear the rumble of garbage cans getting rolled from house to house.
And you can see the trees kind of blowing right now, and I almost feel like you can kind of hear the breeze. I don't know if you can or not. But
you can definitely hear a lot. I can. But then again, I have my headphones in, and I can hear everything.
But I think if you're listening on the radio... if you're listening on the car radio or speakers, it probably... You know, there's a little bit of gray noise in the background, but hear us good.
You can hear us.
You can focus on us.
Like we're right in your ear. I have no idea what that means. But, yeah, man. So last week was fun with Biz being on the show.
That was fun.
And I don't know if we're going to have a segment this episode because he hasn't sent us anything yet. He's supposed to cover the All-Star Game for us, for his first real phone-it-in segment. But I don't know if he's going to have it ready.
I don't know if that's what we decided on or not.
I think
that's how tight we are. Like, what a tight ship we are.
Pretty sure, because I said that's going to be the most relevant because it just happened.
So, anyway, whatever he decides.
But if there's something that you might hear later on, it's because there's a segment later on that we got from him. But as of right now, we don't have anything because he's lazy. No, but for real. It was cool. It was a cool episode with him being able to chat with stuff and getting things going as far as like having correspondence and stuff. And also, I just posted the picture as we're recording this today on Thursday the 13th. I posted the picture to let everyone know that we're going to have another new segment of sorts. Where it's a voicemail and you can call and leave us a message and basically send us any recommendations you might have. So
that number again,
I'm getting it right now. It's 619-438-0532. And, I called it Life's a Pitch because ha ha ha, everything is life's a with our thing. And like the actual life's a phrase is life's a biatch. And so I thought it was funny that it rhymed with that word.
All right, should we call it and see what it sounds like?
It's going to be a horrible thing.
Yeah.
It's a voicemail for me. It's going to ring four times, and it's going to go, "You've reached life's bin."
Is it you?
Oh, yeah. Because I recorded. No, why are you doing this?
Because we got to show people what it's like.
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, no, is it that thing you did? I love it.
It's just me saying, "You've reached life's a binge. Please call us back," or whatever.
You didn't make the...
No, I didn't do that yet. That was a total sample.
You should have done that. I think that
would... Well, once it's better, I will. But it was just here you go.
People are going to be like, is this how long we have to wait?
It's four rings, guys. Standard voicemail, okay?
You have reached life's a binge. Thanks so much for calling and leaving us your ideas and suggestions. We hope to get them on the air as soon as possible. We'll see you on the couch.
That's good.
Now you can record something.
Hi, I suggest you fire Jared. And no, don't fire Jared, because then who would do all the work and record stuff and pay for everything? Cool, man. This works good. I like it.
Yeah.
Hang up now. Boop. Cancel. Whoops. All right. Let's see if that works.
So now I should get a notification on my phone saying that we have just received a message.
I wonder.
I can probably make that happen.
With Jessica?
I can make that happen, too. So, yeah, now I have a voice message from BJ Lawrence.
Nice. I hope someone else calls. Leaves a message.
I suggest you fire Jared.
Ooh.
Do all the work and pay for everything.
And now I'm getting 18 notifications from everything saying that there's a voicemail. So it all seems to be working.
Funny. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So it's all working well and good. So call that number, which I should have it right in front of me, but I don't because I was just playing with the voicemail thing. It is 619-438-0532. We're going to add it to the bumpers and stuff, and it'll be on the Facebook page. So if you have any suggestions or want to pitch us anything, call the number, leave us a message, and we'll play it on the air in the Life's a Pitch segment.
Yeah, basically, there's a topic you want to talk about, a show or a movie or an actor or something like that.
The whole point is, like, if you love it, like, if you're watching a show that you love, then call and say, hey, I love such and such because of whatever.
Blah, blah, blah,
like,
blah,
you
blah.
Just don't want to be like, I think Rivendell's great, or Riverdale's great. And then, like, that's a boring message.
Oh, I watched a couple episodes of that.
Like, send us, like it's basically, like, it's a pitch. Like, sell us on why it's great and why we should pay attention. Or not just us, but anybody that's listening to the show should, like, you know, give your recommendations to it. So that's the whole point of that. Life's a Pitch. And with that, I think we should dive into our episode.
All right.
Life's a binge.
Right? So smooth.
That was a good one.
So smooth.
Yeah, man, that microphone.
I'm liking it.
Mikey P.
Mikey P coming through.
I feel like that was a quick little intro about, you know, setting up new stuff and whatever. But we didn't really say to go visit Facebook and all that and all that other good stuff.
Well, you should do that, especially if you want to check out our new phone
and
number.
And a helicopter flying over.
All right, that's how we are, man.
And some of the ones from... Oh, it's like right there. That's a big-ass helicopter, too. In the one last week from with Rez and stuff, we talked about some of the things that he said, but you couldn't really hear what he was saying, and so... It was weird that we were referencing stuff that people couldn't necessarily hear.
What Reznor was saying.
Right. And so, like, maybe people didn't really hear that there was a helicopter. And I'm just I could hear the helicopter.
I could hear Reznor.
You could hear some of it.
Like, in the distance. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. I thought it, you know, it gave a good sense of, like, space.
Yeah.
You know.
It was fun. It was a fun one. And so Biz was selling us on Baby Driver, which I was so tempted to go see this morning. But then I decided to not do anything instead.
I almost went to go see it this afternoon. Yeah. Good thing I didn't.
I almost went to see it this morning.
I worked at 2:30 and then, Jared, I'm sorry, I forgot. Yeah, I totally forgot we were going to record today. But that's going to be seen in the next couple days.
Yeah, for sure. Because I had the day off today and I was like, I should go see it this morning. And then I could rub it in BJ's face that I saw it.
I'd be super jealous.
But he sold us on that and he was like, you know, he hadn't even seen Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2 yet. And he was like, you know, I'm going to say it right now. It's probably better than Spider-Man. And I was like, nah, I'm pretty biased on that, but it's probably going to be better as far as...
Baby Driver's going to be better than...
Right.
Right.
And it probably is as far as, like, movies go and whatnot, but as far as, like, comic book movies and stuff, like, I'm jacked and ready to go on Spider-Man.
You saw it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what we're talking about right
good.
Now.
Good, I hope you did. For some reason, I thought you were like, I'm jacked and ready to go. And when I see
when I see it, it's going to be awesome. No, that's what we're talking about today. We're this Spider-Man episode, Spider-Man Homecoming. What did you think?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed a lot about it, and I read several things before I saw it because I didn't see it till Monday, and so it had been out for the whole weekend, and so everyone's a movie critic.
Did you? Oh, you read like I hated it, I loved it, or
yeah? I didn't read very, if any. I don't remember any negative reviews about it or negative posts about it.
Gotcha.
But a lot of positive posts and some more expressed thoughts about it that I found to be true. As far as like our man Robert Porter, DJ Wonderbread, commenting on he's a teenager and you really feel like he's a teenager and
correct.
Like he's a youngster, and that played really well.
Yes, it did. It did play really well.
And I enjoyed it. This ethnic, like, angle on it, that his love interest is black, and then his rival, who they don't really get too far into their rivalry, but...
Oh, with Flash.
With Flash.
Yeah.
But Flash just seems to be like an Indian guy.
Yep.
Yeah, man, it was enjoyable. It was super enjoyable. Like there was a lot of it that I was just like, this is great. Like, this is great. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
The very beginning opening scene where it's showing you what happened during Captain America's Civil War.
That was awesome.
And it's him, because I think it's brilliant, because he's doing like a video blog of sorts, and he's filming himself on his camera phone, which is brilliant because... In previous Spider-Man movies, Peter Parker, you see him, and it's supposed to be, quote, modern times, and he has a big-ass, like, 35-millimeter camera around his neck. Now, while that is something that could happen, it should have been, like, a DSLR or, like, a digital camera, because Peter Parker is a photographer. Like,
right.
That's his jam. And so I thought it was brilliant that in the very beginning of this movie, when they set up Spider-Man, he has a camera, it's just his phone. And so, like, he's 15, I think he says in the movie. I'm 15 or whatever.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah. And I was like, he's 15. That's perfect. And so, like, he's not really a photographer yet because he's just a sophomore in high school.
Right.
But, like, they're showing you signs that he's going to be a photographer or has that photographic eye.
Right.
Because he's using his phone camera or camera phone.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's brilliant. Anyway. But the whole beginning scene was freaking great where he's like, okay, hold on. Iron Man just called me. Yeah, I gotta go.
You hear under roos.
Yeah. Oh, he just called me. I gotta go. And then he puts his phone down. And you see him like jump away. It was so cool the way they did that opening scene. Anyway, that was one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, that was definitely enjoyable. and just a smart choice.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Michael Keaton as a villain?
I love Michael Keaton
in
pretty much everything he does, and he was so good. Like, cause he's not. He's not so much like a crazy, creepy psycho villain. Like, he's more like I'm doing this for a good reason, wink. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but he's like kind of unhinged a little
right,
bit.
Right, a little bit, because he's got a big old, you know, hatred for the government now because they took away his livelihood,
of
basically.
Cleaning up trash.
But, yeah, he's got this, like... crazedness to him, but it's not like out of control, like not believable crazy.
Now his character
Vulture,
which was not one that I was familiar with. Like, I'm just not familiar.
You don't know Vulture?
Not offhand,
dude. Like, he's a member of like Sinister Six, man.
See, I think those are just different timelines of villains.
Gotcha.
Like the Shocker. The Shocker was a one that the big back in the day.
Got it.
The ones that we've seen so far, Dr. Octopus,
Green Goblin,
the the lizard man.
Croc, yeah, or yeah.
Not Croc.
The lizard.
The lizard.
King Croc's
yeah.
a
That's Batman, Batman, yeah.
Right. But he's the just lizard. The lizard.
Right.
Right.
Those are all characters that I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
But the vulture, not as
yeah,
much.
Yeah, vulture's awesome. Well, and what's cool is if you look up, like, what the vulture looks like, he's got, like, he's, like, bright green, and he has, like, wings and everything, and he's just wearing a suit. And the way that they made the suit out of the alien tech, which already exists in this world that we're watching, I was like, that's really cool. They used
so
the tech
yeah.
to make the thing.
And so they're clearly rewriting some of these storylines.
A little
to
bit.
To kind of fit into.
To make it fit into their, right.
Yeah, right.
But, and then, like, the way that they design it, like, he's got a leather, like, bomber jacket.
Right.
Is what Keaton's wearing when he's flying his wingsuit. And that's awesome because it has the big puffy collar. And Vulture had, like, feathers, you know, on his collar or whatever.
Right.
So, like, it's so brilliant that, like, how can we make this look, quote, real?
Right.
And they're like, oh, he's just wearing a bomber jacket.
But still reference, yeah.
Right, it's so
that.
Great where I was like, yeah. That's so perfect. Like,
I do have kind of a vague memory of a character,
yeah.
you know, who flew and with, but Vulture isn't
it's not a name you recognize.
No, it's not my top villain list.
Well, and see, that's what I think they did really well, because, like, everyone's expecting another, like, origin story or, like, whatever, but we already saw that in the past two iterations of these movies,
mm-hmm.
and what we didn't need to see again is Peter Parker getting bit by a spider and all this blah-de-da-de-da,
mm-hmm.
and they don't even reference it. Like, they briefly talk about it in Civil War when he's like, I've only had these powers for 6 months, and it's like, okay, we've already established that he's been Spider-Man for 6 months, and, like, the whole beginning is, like, whatever, but it's crazy that in the other iterations, like, he turns into Spider-Man, and then it's like, oh, and by the way, save the world. Like, right now. You literally are brand new to being Spider-Man. Go save the world. And so, like, it's funny. Like, they even call it Training Wheels Protocol.
Right.
Or
right,
whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But it's funny because, like, that's how it should be. You know what I mean? Like, you're a 15-year-old kid. You're not going to know how to save the world.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And so I thought it was great that, like, they're easing us into this storyline or his character, I guess. They're building it slower than the other stories did, I
yeah.
guess.
Well, and it's also cool because there are people who are comic book traditionalists who would say Spider-Man was an Avenger. Spider-Man was an Avenger.
Right.
Who Spider-Man was an Avenger. He wasn't an Avenger when I was into the Avengers.
Right.
Like he just wasn't. Well, he joined later.
He did join.
But
so did Wolverine.
Really?
Yeah. Wolverine's an Avenger too. But that will never happen.
Because you think that...
In the studio wars of whatever.
Right.
Well, you also notice how the very beginning of this movie... Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
At the very beginning of this movie, it started with just a big Sony logo.
It did?
Sony.
Yes.
And then
which
there
made
was,
me go,
Yeah. And then there was, like, all the, like, pre-set up with, like, the little alien tech and all that stuff. And then it started playing the Marvel... like
right.
Thing they have.
That newer one, which I kind of like.
And it shows all the clips from everything else. And did you notice that they were playing the Spider-Man, like, 60s theme song underneath it?
I think I must
it
have.
Was like,
because I would recognize that, like,
yeah.
at
and that
any
was
time.
Playing when, like, the Marvel logo was coming up. And that's when, like, the you know, the movie kind of started. But I thought it was very, very interesting and intriguing. And it made sense, but it was like, oh, Sony, huh? You just made sure to get your big fat name right on the screen with nothing else happening.
Well, they're like, well, we were holding on to the Spider-Man property.
Without us, you wouldn't have this movie.
Yeah.
So, and, like, it makes sense because, you know, anytime anybody's involved, you have to put their names in the credits or whatever. I get it. But at the same time, I was like, man, you are front and center, like, right off the bat. Like, we still own this.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's on loan, guys. He's on loan.
So, you don't picture – well, that reminds me. I can't think of any, and I'm not a big enough comic book nerd to
right.
know, but any times where the X-Men really, like, were part of the rest of the Marvel universe. Like,
Marvel. I know that Wolverine's an Avenger. I'm sure it's happened. Like, I'm sure – I was never really big into the X-Men comics, per se. I was more of, like, watching the X-Men cartoons.
Wolverine
and that kind
became
of stuff.
An Avenger, huh?
Wolverine
that must have been like in the,
an Avenger,
when
yes.
the 2000s or something?
I think it was before that.
Really? Like,
yeah.
In the 90s?
Probably before that.
In the 80s?
I think so. I don't remember when it happened, but I do know that Wolverine in his yellow spandex suit is definitely on the cover of a freaking
Avengers.
Avengers. Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
True that. But yeah, so it's cool that just the way that they did everything in the character development that they had with Peter Parker specifically, I thought they did a very good job with. And the fact that Ned found out like right off the bat, because if you watch the trailers or whatever, I guess spoiler alert, it's kind of late for that, but I guess if you watch the trailers or whatever, you know that his friend Ned finds out that he's Spider-Man.
Oh, really? I don't remember that in the trailer, yeah. But...
He's like, you were crawling on the ceiling. Like, they show that scene.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that happened right at the very beginning, like, of the movie. And I was like, oh, this kid knows from the very beginning. And it's good that he had somebody to like, talk to about it.
Did you ever know JC at SeaWorld?
Yeah.
Like, he was a bigger guy, and he would dance. Like, there's a couple different JCs. There was a JC who was a sound guy.
Yeah, that's the JC I know.
And there's a other JC who looked just like Ned.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like, a lot like Ned. He reminded me of him. And nice. Real similar personalities, too.
Well, and, like, the way that they created this Ned character, like, I've watched so many, like, not behind the scenes, but YouTube theories and all this stuff now that the movie's come out. Excuse me. I think I swallowed a fly.
There's a couple of them. Hey, that's the dangers of doing this outside, I know, right? Man. We got helicopters. there's ghetto birds and flies. Yeah. Okay.
But they're saying that like he looks a lot like this character from the Ultimate Universe that is his friend now. But then there's also this character named Ned from this universe, and da 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 da. And so like they kind of took like pieces from like these people that he knows in different comic threads, and they just put them all together and created this Ned character.
Huh.
And it's freaking great. Like, he was, like, one of the good parts of the movie. I just want to be the guy in the chair, man. I just want to be the guy in the chair.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the movie, guess what he is?
He's the guy in the chair.
And he even says it, the guy in the chair.
Yeah. And that guy in the chair is, like, a vital dude.
Yeah. It's a valid, like, the guy in the chair.
When I think about the guy in the chair, mostly I think about the Punisher. And he has a guy, and I forget who his guy is.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But it's his tech guy who sits at a computer and who gets all his tech and all of his weapons.
Yep.
And then he like keeps an eye on everything. And Alfred's definitely a guy in the chair for Batman.
Oh yeah.
You know, Alfred's like sitting in the chair, kind of watching everything and running everything through the computer. And yeah, the guy in the chair.
You need him. You need that guy. And so, it's just crazy that it starts with Spider-Man having his new suit that Stark gave him, and then. They mess with the suit, and they unlock the abilities of this suit, basically.
Okay, which is a little bit funny, okay, because this is a Tony Stark product.
Right.
Who's probably, like, the biggest computer genius on the planet. World. Yeah. But Ned's able to hack into it.
Right.
To, like, yeah. So I let go of that really, really, really fast. Just part of me was like, oh, yep. That wouldn't happen.
No, I thought that, too. But in their defense, like... Which they don't really go into super detail about, but you know anyway that Peter Parker's a freaking genius.
Yeah, I do like that they hint on that.
Like without Tony Stark's help, he's created his own web shooters and like the web fluid and like even they reference it in Civil War. He's like, what is this stuff? This is pretty impressive or whatever. And like Tony Stark recognizes how smart that he is.
Yeah,
and so. It's kind of believable that they might be able to, like,
maybe
break into
that he runs with the crew.
And, like, not only that, but he just literally, like, plugged it in, and, like, it's all the coding and stuff. So, like, maybe he just had to find where the plug was. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't look like it was a top security, like, secret suit or anything.
It was in no way, shape, or form, you know, something that was going to spoil it for me or ruin
right.
it for me.
So. Right, but still, I thought the same thing. I was like, yeah, right, if Tony made this, like, there's no way he's hacking this
He does national defense contract stuff, so... It's going to be tough.
He just literally is like, well, why don't we just turn it off? Keystroke, 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 and it's off. I was like, that was fast. You just literally like plugged it in and turned it off, huh? Okay. But
that was cool. I got a kick out of that. And it was funny, too, like the little, what do you call it, the operating system.
Oh, yeah.
You know, of the suit. It reminded me of her a lot. Like,
oh, yeah, where he's talking, where he like talks to the girl. And
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's crazy because, like, my knowledge of Spider-Man, the comics anyway, died out long ago. I haven't picked up a comic book in quite some time. But I don't ever remember him having, like, a smart suit. And maybe that's just because...
Maybe it's just
because we're now in, like, the modern era of technology. And so, like, it makes sense for that to happen. And plus, it was very Iron Man-y. When they show, like, his view and it's all, like, heads-up display and computerized and stuff. And I was like, I don't ever remember him having that. And now there's probably somebody yelling at me like, "You idiot, in Spider-Man issue 177.
Yeah,
like,
well, if they did, that
he
was
clearly had a smart suit.
That was that if he did, that was like maybe sometimes they relaunch the series, you know.
Oh yeah.
And so maybe in a relaunch I could see them like doing that and updating it. Like I don't have a problem with it with updating it. You know, but clearly like in the 50s or 60s whenever Spider-Man first came out. Yeah, that he wasn't a
That's what I did not have a problem with it at all. I freaking loved the smart suit. I just thought that it did too many things, if that makes any sense. Where he's
well,
like,
because part of the
how come my webs don't work? She said turn everything off or whatever, and he's like, no, turn them on. And then there's like, she said there's 18,000 different configurations. Like it wasn't that big of a number, but it was like this huge number of configurations that its web shooters do, and I'm like, okay, like, I can get on board with that, but maybe not that such a huge number. Like, give him, like, 10 options.
Yeah.
like, what the hell? Like, how is he supposed to learn all that crap before they turn off the freaking training wheels
or whatever? Yeah, that reminds me of like, Batman. Like, today's Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Is so technologically advanced.
Right.
That it's not the same as the original Batman. And the same as with the Spider-Man. That somewhere along the line, they decided that, we need to update it and make it.
Well, and what's funny about, especially Batman, the TV show, like Adam West Batman.
Yes.
he didn't need all this fancy stuff in his suit or in his belt because it was always there anyway.
Like shark repellent?
He literally has a utility belt that has like 4 credit card slot holders.
Right.
Like you could fit a credit card in that thing.
And then
whatever he needs. He's like, oh man, you know what would be really helpful right now? If I had an electrified boomerang. And sure enough, here comes an electrified boomerang out of his pocket. You're like, what? And like, he just had, and then like, especially in the show, they go back to the Batcave and he's like, we need a fingerprint analysis on this. And he shoves the big paper through the blinky light little machine. Oh, it turns out this is the Riddler. And then they like in the very next scene, he's like, oh no, now we need to find their location. And then they go right back to the exact same machine, and it where it used to say fingerprint analysis, it now says like geolocator,
right.
Bat, it was like bat fingerprints or whatever, and then bat geolocator. I was like, that's the same machine.
like all these machines look alike.
And they just changed the name tag. But
hey, you know what? No one cares, because then they would turn the camera a little bit to the side, a little tilt camera, and have a fight scene with like animated biff bam booms.
Biff bam pow.
Yep.
It was the
awesome.
Best.
It was awesome. Yeah. A little jazz music, a little sexy go-go girl dancers.
Oh, it was so good.
Freaking
love that.
There's a lot going on.
So basically, I don't care that they smartified his suit. I thought it was a good, cool thing
for Spider-Man. I think that there probably are purists that are like, you're taken away from like, because this is my friend Vaughn Porter, who I hope he listens. Maybe I'll give him a little like extra shout out.
Sure.
Hey Vaughn, check out our podcast.
Yeah.
We're talking about you.
What's up, Vaughn?
So he's a friend of Dave Walker, who, speaking of which, I hope I get back to this, because I'm about to go on a little round trip. So I hope we get back to it.
We're a purist and comic purist. I'll remember that.
Okay. So Vaughn is a friend of Dave Walker, who's a friend of mine. And so when I had my when I went to Portland earlier in June, and we had my surprise 50th birthday party in Portland.
Correct.
Vaughn, Dave, and I got to hang out also with JR, which was awesome.
Nice.
Super talented motherfucker. Vaughn, Dave, and I used to joke that the three of us would start a band, and it would be called One and a Half Black Guys, because we were all half black, half white.
That's fantastic.
And so my half black brother Vaughn would be a Spider-Man purist, and he would tell me back in the day that the thing that he loved about Spider-Man was that for the most part he was just a dude,
right?
You know,
he had
some heightened senses and some heightened strengths, but he didn't use weapons. You know, he was always like his dexterity.
Yep.
You know, and he wasn't a killer either.
Nope.
So I think that he might have a problem with the smart suit. So
maybe, but yeah. See, like, I
so
think
Vaughn, you're gonna have to pipe in here.
Call that phone number 619 whatever it was.
Yeah.
But send us your thoughts on the spider suit. I didn't think it was a problem. Like,
no, I didn't either. But he's more of a...
Oh, he's calling right now.
Yeah, that's quick.
Was that important? You could take
it's a phone. No, it's an 877 number, so I'm sure it's
nope.
Not. Yeah.
And
my bad for not turning my ringer on.
I think mine's off. I didn't have a problem with any of it at all. In fact, it was more enjoyable that way. When he turns off the quote training wheels protocol or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then gets full access to his suit, and then tries to go out and catch Vulture like that night without knowing anything about his new suit.
Yeah,
I thought it fit perfectly with the like
him being
young,
a teenager,
yeah, the young aspect, and that leads me to my biggest kind of complaint.
Here we go.
At no point, I don't know how to say this without saying. What, I don't care. At no point did we believe that he was told with great power comes great responsibility.
You need to hear that.
I don't need to hear it. I don't need to hear it, but that's a huge deal for him.
That
like,
is.
Like, that's like his whole...
I don't know.
It's literally his whole reason for being Spider-Man.
But yeah, but I think maybe, I could be wrong, but I think that maybe that like line, which is clearly a hugely popular right. line, was invented for the movie.
No.
Are you sure? I'm not sure, because I don't know.
That's Uncle Ben's.
He says like, in the comic
thing.
Book.
Yes, with great power comes great responsibility. Yes.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, it makes sense that they would do that. But it doesn't.
And at no point in this movie did it feel like he was ever told that.
Okay, so
he's
this is
just
my
like,
theory.
I'm just going to do whatever I want because I'm a dumb 15-year-old and I can do whatever I want because I'm Spider-Man.
This is my theory.
And I'm like, you should be more responsible than that. Like
that line, even though it probably was attributed to the comic book back mm-hmm. in the day. Certainly became much bigger part of our culture as a movie that belongs to Sony, and that was one thing that in their movies they're not going to give up. Maybe you know what I'm saying?
I guess, but like that's his whole like it's his whole motto.
I never associated it with him like
that's
that.
So
like
weird.
I mean, I do. I mean, I do, but I never think that like Spider-Man is driven by this. Like I never think that this is like the thing that's making him, you know, helping him make his decisions as he goes on to fight crime.
But it was so well done in the very first movie where he chooses to not live that life or whatever.
Right.
And then.
But this is a different.
It's a big problem.
It's Disney now.
No,
so
I know.
Like,
that's why you think it would be like all in there.
Nah. But I'm guessing Sony, the same way they wanted their name at the front of the movie, they're like, hold on now. We're holding on to some of this shit. This is going to be ours.
Yeah, but you can't. I maybe you can. Maybe that's why. But it's just. It's so weird. It just didn't seem like he. Had any like he didn't care like he only cared about like I can do it and
right.
like I was like
right
like
I'm tired
no.
of being treated like a kid.
I was like
I'm
no.
grown up now, damn it. Stomp stomp. He looks around, make sure no that people heard him curse.
Yeah,
I said it, damn it. I'm an adult.
Which I didn't have a problem with him being a kid at all. I thought it was perfect. I thought Tom Holland did an amazing job portraying Peter Parker / Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And his confidence out of the suit versus his confidence in the suit is 100% accurate, where he can't talk to anybody in person. He's like, hey, okay.
Right.
And like Liz talks to him in his locker. He's like, oh, hey, Liz, it's just I gotta go. And like that's perfect because that's how he is. But then when he's Spider-Man, he's cracking jokes and That's you know, that's how he always has been. He shows his true personality, his sarcastic,
uh-huh.
kind of smart alecky, doesn't stop talking, like social awkwardness, but
right.
like it's perfect.
And they nailed a lot of that. Like
oh yeah.
Yeah. Which I dug. I'd hate to see them like reinvent it and all of a sudden he becomes Batman.
Right.
You know, like,
I'm Spider-Man. Well that's what when he used the interrogation mode or whatever.
Right, yeah.
And he's like talking to Donald Glover.
He's You're like, not very good at this. Sorry.
Tell me where everything is. It's all this like modified, like crazy voice modification. He's like, you've never done this before, have you? Get better at this part.
Yep.
And just so much humor in it that's very fitting for that whole scene when he's like, okay, and he turns it off and he's like, okay, come on, help me out, man. I'm just trying to help somebody, like whatever. And then when he finally leaves, he's like, are you going to take this off? He's like, nope, still criminal, bye.
Right.
I got milk in here, man. Like, or whatever, ice cream. I got ice cream in here.
You're a bad guy. You deserve it. Gotta go.
It's so funny.
So, yeah, that was good. That was good.
So much of it.
And the cast, there was a lot of people. And they're like, Donald Glover is like, he's a kind of a big name right
now. Well, and that was huge because so many people wanted him to play Spider-Man.
I remember that.
Like
I remember being
him
hearing
him
talk about it. Like
because the newest
You know what?
Iteration.
I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think that was probably some kind of little nod to those who
right.
were Now, like, we'll put him in the movie, but he's
now
not
me
start
being
with
conspiracy minded because I hang out with you.
Yes, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, and you're welcome.
No,
for seeing the
I
truth.
I think people are going to be pissed that he was
not Spider-Man or was in it.
Was in it.
I haven't heard
as
anything
a
yet.
Bad guy. I think some
moderately
some
bad guy
people are going to be like, oh, sure. The black guy's not good enough to be Spider-Man, but he's good enough to be a criminal.
Maybe.
Like,
I haven't heard that
yet. I feel
like
that's going to surface at some point.
Maybe. It could be.
But maybe that's just me reading way too much into everything. But it was cool that he was in it, but he says his name, then he says his nephew, and his...
Because it humanizes him. Yeah.
Right. Well, not only that, but like his nephew... When he says his name, I forget his name because I don't know the ultimate, right. The new ultimate stuff. But Miles Morales is the new Spider-Man. He's the black, half Filipino Spider-Man.
Oh,
his
so
name
is Donald
is Miles
Glover?
Morales.
Was Donald Glover's name Miles?
No, his nephew's name
is Miles.
Miles.
Really? Correct. Awesome.
So they're just tying in all this stuff to different Spider-Man,
God, you know, there, and there's,
universes.
There are things that I know without a question. Probably most of them I didn't get.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get that one until I watched some YouTube where they're like, did you catch this? And
yes.
I was like, tell me all about it.
Yes, go on. What do you mean?
Because
yes.
I didn't catch it. But then like,
I'm sure I didn't catch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there's a million of those things where I'm like, I know Spider-Man, but like, I am not an encyclopedia.
Right.
At one point in my life, probably when I was like 13, 14, I could have told you anything you wanted to know. But since then, I'm just more of a... heightened fan, I guess, would be the best way to word it.
Well, we've been inundated, like with so right. same way with television.
Right.
Our superhero nerds inside of us
oh,
have
yeah.
been like fed.
Oh yeah.
To overstuffed, for the last 15 years or more.
Quite some time.
Yeah. So there's yeah, it's not like Spider-Man came out and then you have time to sit and take in everything you can about Spider-Man. Spider-Man came out and then everything else came out. Comic book oriented and
oh yeah,
so
it's crazy.
Plus they make TV. So
well, and that's like the other thing they're trying. Like when's Daredevil gonna get brought up? And you know when are they gonna reference this and that?
Right.
Because in Daredevil they reference the Avengers, but so far in the movies I don't think they've referenced any of the stuff that's happening with the TV shows. And I could be mistaken.
Yeah, and I don't think I don't think Daredevil ever. Joins any of these groups.
No,
like,
I don't
I
think so. But like he lives,
just curious about
he lives
that.
In New York, and a
yep.
lot of the stuff takes place in New
yep.
York. I'm going to bring up something that Samantha brought up, which is very valid.
Right on.
It's very similar to your. There's no way he would have been able to hack that spider suit because Tony
okay.
Stark made it.
All right.
They're moving Avengers headquarters out of Stark Tower.
It's moving day, yes.
And
Jon Favreau's moving day.
They're
okay.
moving it to upstate or wherever they're moving it to. Samantha was, like, losing her mind because she's like, wait a minute. They're moving all this crap, all this new tech, Captain's new shield, Thor's new belt, like, all this new stuff that they're working on. It's, like, priceless stuff, literally a belt for a god.
Right.
Like, and there's no guards. Like, Iron Man's not there to, like, fly behind the ship. Like, there's nobody there. They're just trust... happy Jon Favreau to move every single piece of high tech value tech in one jet. Like she's like, how come there's nobody watching this? Like, why is Spider-Man the only person there? Like, what is happening? It blew her mind that there was nobody watching the thing with all the stuff.
Now, could you remember better than me?
Yeah.
Is that new compound reference in any of the other movies that have come out? Because this has gone back a little bit, like, in time.
No, it did, but then it caught back up. We're in present time now. But I don't think they have referenced the new compound. Unless it's one of the
Is it Spider-Man, like, it ends at current time? Like
correct.
Hmm.
And some people are saying, we found the break in the timeline or whatever, because they show him doing Civil War stuff, or they show him doing... the Michael Keaton scene at the beginning where he's picking up after the alien stuff from
right.
the first Avengers movie.
Right.
It then says 8 years later.
Okay.
And so people are like, 8 years later? Like,
is that
the first
now?
Avengers movie would have taken place in this then and now. And so, like, this movie's taking place in 2020. Like, is what people are saying. Like, from
okay.
what they can piece together of the timeline.
But Okay.
And they're like, well, that only comes true if this is if this place takes place in this
movie.
Was
2012? Is that when Avengers came out? No.
I think it's when it came out.
Really?
I think so. But that's not necessarily when the movie takes place. There's a whole a whole like
I guess you're right. Yeah.
Theory on people like what's the timeline?
But I guarantee you these people at Disney and Marvel are staying on top of it.
I hope so. There's literally probably one person whose only job is to make sure the continuity is accurate.
I'm going to guess that they probably don't, and it's just my my believing in them like I do Apple, that they're going to put out a product that's going to be infallible.
Right.
That's just not realistic. So, and it's not realistic that they're going to like be able to maintain this gigantic universe of alternate universe.
Well, and if the only thing they get wrong is like a couple years here and there.
I got no complaints. I'm not going to lose.
Care.
I don't care either. Yeah. I don't care.
And some people, and that was one of the, I saw it was another YouTube thing.
This is why the Marvel Universe is bullshit.
Well, they didn't say it was. They were just like, we found a break in the timeline or whatever. Right. And I was like, huh, I'm curious. And like, well, because this takes place then, and then this takes place 8 years later, da 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 da. Yeah, and then like halfway through, it was like a guy and a girl like doing a newscast basically thing. And the girl's like, for the record, like, I don't care. Like, FYI, I love everything they're doing.
Right.
But it's my job to make these videos. And so that's why we're trying to find anything we could possibly find.
Right on.
But for the record, like, I love it all. So I was like, yeah, that's basically how we all feel. Like,
that's
if you
cool.
see anything that doesn't make sense, you're like, ooh, I busted them. And you're like, we're at filmed like 23 right now, guys.
Whatever number. There's a whole lot to juggle and keep. Yeah,
keep
it's in
like
line.
If all they miss is like, oops, we said 8 years when we should have said six. Like, so. Oh, what?
Yeah. So I'll be curious to see how it all plays out. And I don't know if I'll ever care.
Right.
You know?
Right.
The only reason I'd care is like if there's a movie that I'm invested in, two movies that I'm invested in, and what they're saying
contradicts
each other. And we're supposed to, and you're supposed to buy into the entire universe as part of the whole thing. So.
But see, that's the beautiful thing about having Doctor Strange as part of the universe.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
I have not seen that. I started to watch it and I fell asleep. You like it?
Yeah.
It's good. Okay. I'm going to watch it.
It's not my favorite, but it's definitely very enjoyable and it's very smart.
Better
it's
than
very
Iron
good.
Man 3?
Oh, yeah. Iron Man 3 is at the bottom.
Is it? Is
Iron Man 3 is terrible.
That reminds me.
It's not
me,
terrible.
So,
it's just not my favorite one.
So I should pull it up, but one of our recent guests for the first time.
Yeah.
Jay Huerto.
Fernando,
Jay
sorry,
Huerto.
Jay.
Yeah, Fernando. Yes. Hey,
are you looking at his, do you see his list?
Yeah. And I enjoy that a lot, and I almost want to share all those posts like that he makes onto our page because they're just relevant for stuff that we talk about.
Right.
But
his list of, like, my list now Spider-Man's out.
Yeah, favorite Marvel movies. That's a good list, and that's a good that's a good
his
topic.
His was a very good list. I'm going to see if I can find it right now. But it's just, what was I saying about? I don't even remember. I got distracted by his list.
That's okay. His,
with Doctor Strange being in the universe now, they can change literally anything they wanted because he can change dimensions and time and space and anything. Doctor Strange can do whatever he wants.
All right, so let me tell you about...
So if they're off by eight or 2 years or whatever, at the very, very end of everything, they could just, like, have a shot of Doctor Strange going, like, oops, sorry, guys.
Oopsie-daisy.
Right.
Oops. That's how we do it.
Right.
You know, I got to tell you, I had this one of the most influential books of my life.
Sure.
Was Origin of Marvel Comics. It was a thick comic book
nice.
That was thick, like a good like 2 inches thick, so it had several like
this is a real book.
It was a book with a bunch of comics and then a bunch of like stuff written in between that I never read as a kid.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I wish I could find it and read it now because I bet it's probably
like the insights from the writers and creators.
Yep, yep.
All the good stuff that you want as an adult,
exactly.
But you're like boring.
Boring
when you're
as hell. Yeah. Like show me the next adventure of the Fantastic Four. So so in that book it had origins and it had it would always include the original like origin episode of whatever character they're talking about.
Sure, like so and so showed up in Spider-Man issue.
So like Thor, they had like the original Thor. It had the original Spider-Man.
Oh yeah,
it had the original Fantastic Four. It had the original couple other ones. It had the Hulk for sure. It had That's good. It's a fancy looking can.
It's pretty good. Second Chance Beer Company sees the IPA.
Is that probably because they employ homeless? I'm just guessing.
Sure. I have no idea why.
Or cons. No, it would be cons.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Yeah, it's run by ex-cons.
I'm sure that's not the case.
How does that ex-con beer taste? Is it good?
It's good. Yeah.
Right on.
I'm on my second one.
So what was I saying?
Doing? I don't know. the origins book and right. How, like oh, you so wanted to read
in this origin book. I loved the whole thing to death.
Yeah,
play. I read it to death, and like it's literally dead. It went up in flames. Probably. I don't know. It's gone now. I don't know where it is.
Right.
But at the end of it was Doctor Strange.
Okay. You're like, don't care.
I never got to it. Like in the however many years I had it, which had to be a lot.
Sure.
I never read the Doctor Strange. It just never interested me. I was like, look at this guy. He's a doctor and what? I don't care. don't care. Yeah.
He controls space and time.
That meant nothing to me.
I know.
Like, show me like big muscles or show me like a indestructible hammer or like.
Which?
Yeah.
Yes. Have you seen the trailer for Thor Ragnarok?
Yes.
It looks fun. It looks like they're trying to capitalize on some of the Guardians of the Galaxy success.
Well,
by making it all like neon and kind of 80s
I don't know.
Looking. Oh, the trailer anyway. It looks
the trailer.
It looks 80s-ish.
So now, have you read any of those like Planet Hulk comic books?
No.
Because oddly enough, I have.
Okay.
And so it's right out of the comic books, nice. Which is great. And so, I'm super excited. I'm super excited about it.
It looks like Gladiator in space. Like, am I wrong?
Because
you've seen Gladiator, right?
I love Gladiator.
Where it's
a great movie.
This guy is now a slave. He was once a general, but now he's a slave.
Now he understands.
And now that he's a slave, what are we going to make him do? Let's make him fight for his freedom. I'm like, this is Gladiator, isn't it? And maybe that's like not. Maybe I'm just looking into what I've seen in the trailer.
You know, I'd be curious to find out if that comic book came out before or after Gladiator. Ooh, which makes me think, well, Gladiator's kind of a classic tale,
it's
right?
It's pretty... I have no idea.
I'd have no idea.
It's Russell Crowe, so it's not that classic. No, maybe the story.
The story, I mean.
Right. Like, well, Spartacus is kind of the same thing, isn't he? He was like a slave-turned-leader.
Yes.
Gladiator guy.
I need to see Spartacus.
So. You've never seen Spartacus?
You've seen it?
They made me watch it in school, I swear.
Really?
I swear.
Shit, I would have liked that. I would have liked that a lot.
I think I've only seen it like one time.
You were forced to watch a Stanley Kubrick movie in school?
I think so.
That's awesome.
I am Spartacus.
I am Spartacus. I am Spartacus.
Do you know why they say that?
Because they were trying to find Spartacus and kill him.
Yeah.
And so everyone was owning up to Spartacus and they were realizing that no one, that Spartacus was a movement bigger
exactly.
than all of them.
Yep.
And so I am Spartacus.
Even though he was just one man.
He was just one man, but
he inspired
millions. I am Spartacus. Yeah. So I want to see that movie. Besides, because it's Stanley Kubrick and because it's so popular.
But yeah, it just looks like the Thor movie is going to be Gladiator. I'm sure it's going to be great.
I don't know. You know, I would love to look into that and see. You know, that sounds like a piece for somebody who's really like inspired for it. Lennox.
Right.
Sorry, that's for my godson Lennox, who's going to do a piece for us at some point.
Yes.
So,
I'm writing his name down so I don't forget.
Lennox Berglund.
I found Fernando J. Huerto's his current Marvel Cinematic Universe rankings from favorite to like to don't really care about ever seeing again.
Cool. And where are we at time-wise?
There's,
just curious.
46.
Sweet. Okay.
Something.
Sweet.
So he has all 16 movies listed. Guardians of the Galaxy. This is just his list, mind you. People are like...
Which is the greatest. I love this.
Well, and people are like commenting. There was a couple comments like, no, I don't think that this one should be up that high. And he's like, well, this is my list.
And actually, this is exactly where it belongs
on
my list.
You can't, make your own list if, you don't like how I numbered them.
Right.
So if you don't get mad at us, don't get mad at him. If you have a difference of opinion, then don't.
It's just like our appearance on the Kept Faith podcast where we're listing our favorite.
Right. Wink.
Yeah. Or whatever you're thinking of at the moment.
Yeah,
either
exactly.
way.
So anyway, number one, Guardians of the Galaxy is his top. Top
number
favorite.
One, I like that. Instead of his favorite, not number two, but number
the first Guardians of the Galaxy's favorite.
Okay.
Second, Spider-Man: Homecoming.
That, now that's bold.
So
Jay.
He ranks it right up there. Second.
You're like
movie.
Fernando.
I'm like yes, my son. Number three, Captain America: Civil War.
Very solid. Good.
Number four, the first Avengers movie. Number five, Captain America: The Winter Soldier. So the second Captain America movie. Six, Iron Man. Seven, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. That I found interesting. Again, we just said don't judge him on his list, but I'm judging him on his list.
Judge him away.
That I found it interesting that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is below Iron Man.
The first Iron Man?
Yeah, because I love Iron Man, but I just felt, I don't know, I fell in love with Guardians of the Galaxy.
And so you thought 2 was better than
the first Iron Man? Oh, maybe not. Maybe he's right. Maybe there's something the matter with me. Sorry, that was a little.
That's the best part. That's the best part.
Yeah,
questioning yourself.
Captain America: The First Avenger. That one surprises me because I think that movie's below a lot of this.
What now?
The first Captain America
is good.
It's good.
It has
just
moments
drags.
Yeah, it does have moments of great.
It drags like a son of a
like an anchor.
And then Avengers: Age of Ultron is below that. Ant Man, Doctor Strange, Iron Man 3. He ranks Iron Man 3 better than Iron Man 2. I think we have issues with that.
You know, I might have to see Iron Man 3 again, but I would think Iron Man 2 is pretty solid.
It is very solid.
Is it better than Iron Man 1?
No.
I don't think so.
Iron Man 1 is fantastic.
It's definitely 1, 2, and 3, like in my book.
Yeah, I think so too. Then he has Thor, The Dark World, and The Incredible Hulk running about, which he apparently doesn't like Thor. So there's that.
Damn, there hasn't been a good Hulk movie. There still has not been a good Hulk movie.
I don't
movie.
Think there will be.
The best Hulk movie is... Avengers.
Well,
yeah.
I was like, The Incredible Hulk?
No, The Avengers. That's the best Hulk movie. Even though it's not really a Hulk movie. But
see, that's the thing. I think that they've tried it twice and it didn't work. Was there one before the Banner one?
By the Ang Lee one?
Who's the guy in that movie?
Eric Bana?
Yeah, Bana.
Yeah.
I said Banner because that's Hulk's name.
Right.
I'm an idiot.
Doc Eric Bana.
There's no other movies, right? There was just the TV show and stuff?
There was a 70s TV show. I don't remember any movies before that.
Right.
So
I just don't think he carries... Because the difference is when the other guys are the superheroes, they're still... There. There's still people. There's still talk. There's whatever. When the Hulk's the Hulk, you're just like, he's just going to go destroy shit. Like,
right.
Which is cool to see, but, like, you can't really build the character and then, like, have him be the Hulk and be like, yep, I still love it. Like, he's just a big, angry monster. Like, he doesn't...
Huh.
You know what I mean? Like, to carry a movie. Like, I love the Hulk and I love the character. I just don't think... I think that's why it didn't work twice, because like it's the same thing.
Was it just twice?
Twice.
See, it almost seems like there was a third one, but
yeah,
no.
They did the Ang Lee one, and then they did the Ed Norton one,
and those are the only Hulk movies,
as far as I know.
Yeah,
and the Ed Norton one is the official,
the one that Marvel holds on to,
official one,
the canon.
Yes, huh. Even though it's now Mark Ruffalo.
Huh.
Yeah, that's the real one.
Now I wonder if that one ties into the Marvel universe.
It does.
It does with no problems.
Yep. Because there's, like, they even have, like, the Agent Coulson's in it, and, like, yeah.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
Like, it's the real deal.
Huh.
But it's at the bottom of Jay's list for a reason. it wasn't great.
Yeah, it wasn't great. And I remember being so excited about the first Hulk movie and the second Hulk movie.
Yeah.
And the first Hulk movie, like, being 20 minutes into it and, like, going, this movie's awesome.
Yep.
And then, like, by the time we ended, it was like,
Yeah, not so much.
And Ang Lee's done some stuff I've loved.
Yeah.
Loved. Crouching Tiger. Oh, my God. Love that movie.
Yeah. So, back to... Oh, you see your iPad burning up?
Well, I'm just noticing I was getting a big reflection. Big reflection from the sun.
Back to Spider-Man. I feel that the Washington Monument scene was one of the best scenes in the movie. When he's in Washington... And he bails on the friends because he's supposed to be studying or no, he's not supposed to be studying. They like are going down to the pool and they're like, come to the pool or whatever. He's like, no, I got to go. Whatever. And then he ditches them, ends up at the Washington or ends up it locked in the tower or
right.
locked in the storage facility for the defense contractor or whatever.
Right.
Then that's when you see him like really sitting there just talking to Karen, his
right.
iOS or whatever.
And you think that he's gone through like hours of training and everything. Right. It's like 37 minutes.
How long has it been since I've been stuck here? 37. Are you kidding me? I gotta get out of here. And then he finally breaks out and it's daytime or whatever. And then when he gets out, it's like, oh, snap. Stuff's going down with the friends at the Washington Monument, and then he goes and, like, Spider-Mans it up like a boss, dude. It's yeah. so bitchin'.
That's sweet.
And, like...
That scene, too. Both that scene and the fairy scene were... I thoroughly enjoyed those for, like, big action, right. like, disaster.
When he, like, Spider-Mans
yeah,
it
superhero,
up.
Yeah, superhero scenes.
And I thought, because, again, the fairy scene, you see a very brief shot of him, like, holding, like, trying to whatever, the fairy back together.
Right.
And I was like, this is, again, from the Spider-Man movie, like, where he stops the subway.
Train. Right. Yeah, the same kind of similar
way. And I was
way.
Like, this is the same thing, but it's totally not. And it was... It was great, because those are the two scenes where he has his full super spider suit. Uh-huh. And, like, he's just... You realize that he does have this, like, potential to do crazy, super awesome Spider-Man-y stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of it, it's like, oh, nope, you can't... If you're nothing without the suit, you don't deserve it or whatever,
right.
Tony says. And, yeah, it was great. But the freaking... When he's at the Washington Monument and he's, like, climbing up and, like, he's, like, staring, I almost wanted to see it in 3D just to, like...
I bet you that looked cool.
I would have fainted.
In 3D.
I'd have been like, nope, yeah. can't do it.
Do you watch movies in 3D in general?
No, never.
I don't either. Like, I avoid it. Actually, I avoid it.
Not ever.
Yeah, it's just not calling my name.
No, it's like a thing.
And you wonder, you think it'll pass, or do you think it's going to always be here?
I think it'll pass. I think it's a fad. I don't know, because I after I saw this movie, I was like, maybe I'll go see it in 3D. One of the very few movies I've seen in 3D is Captain America Winter Soldier.
That was a great movie.
That is a great movie.
That's great.
And I saw it in 3D, and when the Falcon's, like, flying through at the end, like, going through all the buildings, and the camera's right behind him, it was like, that was worth it for the 3D, for that one scene alone. It was like, this is cool, because you felt like you were, like, right there, like, whoo, whoo, uh-huh. whoo. And I feel like the Washington Monument scene would be, the one of the scenes that would be worth it for Spider-Man.
So if you saw it in 3D, you got to let us know what you thought about that scene. Or
give us a
the
ringing,
3D experience.
Give us a ringing dingy on the voicemail.
One ringing dingy.
But that was just, he's like, I've never been up this high before. I was like, that's so cool. Like, he's like still experiencing stuff for the first time.
Yeah.
And, another thing that I freaking loved. And they even, like, played it up, like, this is what we're doing an homage to, was Ferris Bueller, when he gets to the suburbs and he, like, and he, like, shoots and he's like, oh, shit, like, there's no buildings for me to, like, web swing on. And
right.
And then I have to run. Like, because he can't Spider-Man because there's nothing to, like, swing on.
Yeah.
So then he's just running through the backyards and, like, he literally runs through a backyard where they're watching Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
Where he's running through the backyards and he even says, like, hey, that's a great movie.
Great movie, yeah. Yeah, it was almost like, okay, so honestly, I got to tell you, at that moment, I'm not sure what I thought about that,
mm-hmm.
because it happens so kind of fast,
right.
and it's like it's on you, and then there's definitely part of me that would see a scene like that and think, they're just phoning it in. Like, it's like, like, this is like Ocean's 12, where they just say, oh my, she looks like Julia Roberts, why doesn't she pretend she's Julia Roberts?
Right.
Like, that there was a little bit of that kind of feeling, because when I saw that in Ocean's 12, I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, this movie sucks balls. So
you didn't like Ocean's 12?
Nope, not as much as like Ocean's 11 or 13.
Well, 11's like
is great,
man.
But yeah, no, and it may be that the entire thing was great except for that part, and I hated that. But I don't think so. I just think that movie wasn't.
And then
as
like
good.
Her best friend Bruce Willis shows up, and he's like, "Hey, it is you." It's like, if it wasn't her, he wouldn't
know
that.
Dumb. Yeah, like, that's dumb. Yeah. So screw Ocean's 12.
Yeah.
And luckily, like, I was having so much fun up until that to that point.
Right.
And it didn't ruin the fun for me, but I was able to let that go.
Like, in Ocean little, 12 or in Spider-Man?
No, in Spider-Man. Got it. That they make this clear, like, well, that's Ferris Bueller when they're running through things. And then they're like,
but then
they know it's Ferris Bueller. So they're saying to you, yes, we know this is an homage to Ferris Bueller. So that we're going to, like,
they called
Family Guy it
they
in
called
your
them,
face.
They called
you know?
Themselves out before you had called them out.
Right,
basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So they kind of Family Guy'd it a little bit. Like,
I thought it was great.
But it didn't stop me from enjoying it. I enjoyed it to death.
So that moment when he's running through the backyards because he can't web swing anymore, which you never see.
Right.
Well, you haven't in any of the movies where it's like, what does he do if there's no buildings?
Right.
Well, he just runs. Like, that's what he did.
He runs and jumps. He's like,
I'm tired. And then when he gets to the Washington Monument, he's like, I've never been this high up before. This is crazy. And they're like, that's ballistic glass. You're going to have to use a lot more force than that. And then he, like, figures it out in his, like, brain all quick. And that's when he uses the helicopter and, like, I was like, yeah.
That was, like, the preview I remember seeing some time ago.
Yeah.
There was, like, a couple scenes that they'd shown a while ago.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, I was like, have I seen this movie before? That's, like, right. I was thinking as I was watching it.
Yeah.
Like, no, but I have seen the scene before.
Yeah, when he, like, jumped and, like, spread his little, like, web wings or whatever.
Over the helicopter and then back down below. But there was another scene with Ned that I was like, I've seen this whole scene before.
Yep.
And it was kind of playing with me. I was like, have I seen this movie?
Well, and then, like, they like, referenced the other Spider-Man movie, kind of. When, like, he saves the elevator from falling or whatever.
Right.
And then, like, Karen goes, now's your opportunity, kiss her. And he's, like, hanging upside down.
Right.
And, like, they're like, ha, 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 Spider-Man kiss, remember
right,
that?
Right.
So, like, he didn't kiss her at that point. But that's what they were, I feel that's what they were doing when he's hanging upside down.
Oh, for sure. He's I'll kiss her.
And then, yeah, it was just cool. And, like, I feel like the Vulture figured out who he was too quickly, just like based on little. You weren't there, huh?
They didn't give enough like backstory to make him go from this normal like refuse collector guy
right.
into a criminal
right,
and all of a sudden like his whole team is behind him on being a criminal
right.
And so it was a little weird. Like,
well,
like,
not only that, but like it's just he says he's doing it so his family can whatever. And like they have a house in the suburbs of New York. Like a
giant fancy
house. Like it's
house.
A nice house.
A huge, huge fancy house.
And so it makes sense that like, sure, but like how much is too, you know what I mean? Like he's like, just one more score.
Yeah.
So you feel like he's kind of done that for a long time. He's like, I'm doing this for my daughter.
But I don't remember her name, the character's
Liz
name.
Allen.
Oh, very good.
Yes. Yeah. And then, and so that was like the biggest like what moment for me. I was not expecting him to be the dad.
That was a good moment.
I was like, holy shit.
But I think that they spoiled that in one of the trailers a while ago.
I don't think so.
I feel that way. When I watched it, I was like, oh yeah, that's right.
You just see him in the car. Like you don't know he's in the car in the trailer. Maybe you do, but he's like, I'll kill you. And I'll kill everyone you love or whatever. And you're like,
right.
Whoa.
But you don't know it's just, yeah.
But you don't know why or who. You assume he's talking to Spider-Man, not to Peter Parker.
Right.
But it was crazy when he was like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. I don't remember how he realized. Who?
The Vulture. Vulture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So but he knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Correct.
So it can't be that big a secret for very long. And at the end of the movie, spoiler alert.
Right.
It's not that big a deal, but they imply that Aunt May figures it out at the very end.
Right. Which she finds out in the comics, which is eventually way down the road. And that was my problem with the Amazing Spider-Man series. Is like he told everyone he's Spider-Man. And I was like, what are you doing?
Now, like, the series.
Amazing Spider-Man, not the series, the two movies that they did.
Oh, okay. I was like, right. I don't remember the series. I was
Two movies, the Amazing, not Spider-Man, but the Amazing Spider-Man.
Right, with
Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield, yes.
Yeah, the first movie, he's like, I'm Spider-Man. I was like, everyone knows you're Spider-Man, dude, shut up. But yeah, Aunt May does find out, and so like I felt it was good. I'm on board also, by the way, with Marissa Tomei as hot Aunt May. Like,
they really play her up.
Yep.
As like hot Aunt May.
I don't care. She's awesome. She's hot. She's always been hot. And I'm cool with it because I love Marissa Tomei.
I like it too. I like
it. But like, and they like hint at it in weird ways with like, stop flirting with my aunt or whatever.
Right.
And then when they go to get Chinese food or wherever they're at, he's like, oh, I got free dumplings. And he's like, yeah. Why do you think? And
right,
they're all just like staring at her. It's like
that is kind of funny because she's attractive.
Oh yeah, Marissa Tomei.
And maybe she's just been around for so long. But like,
I love.
I mean, like,
Tomei.
No, I mean, like, I still am attracted to her.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
It's just I feel like there's gonna be a an uprise of like the feminist movement that's like, why are you objectifying women like Aunt May and da 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 da? And it's like, come on, she got free dumplings. Like, it's funny. Like,
I don't know.
Not everything is like this, like demeaning. Anyway. Again, I'm probably reading way too much into something.
It may not,
probably doesn't even exist, but...
We'll see.
We live in the world, or the era, where people get pissed about everything, and so I'm like, somebody's gonna get pissed that, like, somebody's oogling MA. Like...
Right.
So it's like, just get over it. Like, it was a funny moment.
Hey, yeah, sorry, it's Jared. Sorry to interrupt real quick, but we'll get back to Spider-Man in just a second. And it's going to be awkward because at the end we're like, maybe we got one, maybe we didn't. But see, the thing is, we did. So I'm interrupting to insert the first ever Life's a Biz. Enjoy.
Life's a Biz!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good morrow to all the listeners of Life's a Binge. It's this week's episode of Life's a Biz. Welcome to the semi-weekly feature that we're going to be doing. So, Beej and Jared asked me to recap the All-Star Game, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, which went about as you would expect. The American League won, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. They always say in the MLB All-Star Game, this time it matters. Right? Yeah, sure, it matters. If it mattered, they would have Clayton Kershaw on the mound for 8 innings, just throwing 98-102, and they don't. They just don't. It doesn't matter. It's not a thing. So, the All-Star Game doesn't matter. American League won. They will have home field advantage in the World Series. The highlight of the weekend was Aaron Judge winning the Home Run Derby. And I actually said the words these words to my son. We were watching the game, or the Home Run Derby, and he said, Daddy, who's that guy? And I said, that's Aaron Judge. He's a Yankee. We will never root for him. But then we started rooting for him because he hit 4 home runs over 500 feet, and that's pretty incredible. But anyway, I digress. I'm here to talk to you guys about a real sport. About 12 years ago, I was tasked to go to Las Vegas, Nevada. I was working with ESPN. They sent me to Las Vegas for one of the great American sports, competitive eating. Yes, you heard me correctly, competitive eating. This was the height of the Takeru Kobayashi frenzy. You know the guy, the little dude who ate what was then a world record amount of hot dogs. And people were fascinated with competitive eating. And I was going to Las Vegas to basically put on one of these shows. It was going to be on ESPN2. They would never put it on ESPN. It's on ESPN2. You can still catch it on ESPN Classic every now and again. And it was called Great American Sports, the U.S. Open of Competitive Eating. It was a tournament style, and there were 32 gurgitators. They were not athletes. They were not eaters. They were called gurgitators, which sounds disgusting, but it's kind of accurate. Anyway. So there I was in Las Vegas, surrounded by guys like Takeru Kobayashi, Sonia Thomas, who is maybe 85 pounds, very small woman, but could pack away more food than your entire Super Bowl party combined. Ed Cookie Jarvis, who is probably 6'4 and 275 pounds. Eater X, who always competed with makeup on, and a little guy known as Joey Chestnut, a very, very up and comer in the sport. And it was a tournament style, so these guys would go face to face and basically just take each other out. The rules were this. Whoever could eat the most amount of food given to them in a certain amount of time would move on. If you, well, I mean, if you threw up, or as they called it, reversal of fortune, you were automatically disqualified. And there were a couple of those in the spaghetti round. There were a couple of guys who had reversals of fortune and were disqualified. One of which was a man named Takeru Kobayashi. However, he didn't completely have a reversal of fortune, so we did not disqualify him. In the end, it ended up being Takeru Kobayashi versus Sonia Thomas, the amazing eater from Japan, as we all know, and the incredible eater from the United States of America, Sonia Thomas. Man versus woman, Japan versus America. And of course, as you would imagine, back in 2005, there was nobody better than Takeru Kobayashi, and he easily put away Sonia Thomas. I still have one of the pint glasses used by Takeru Kobayashi. I still have it in my hands. And he autographed it for me, which was pretty cool back in the day. But that wasn't even the best part. We did the TV show, and we did this took place over 3 days. All of these rounds took place over 3 days. At the very end of production, when we were all done, we went to the buffet at the New York, New York. And they said, no, we're not going to have 32 professional eaters come to New York, New York. Then we tried the MGM. Hey, we have 32 professional eaters that want to come to the buffet. They said, no. We ended up at the Luxor. And the look of the manager at the buffet at the Luxor when Ed Cookie Jarvis came and said, hey, I would like to eat here professionally, was uncreatable and unforgettable. And it was something that I will not forget. So we pretty much finished all of the food at the buffet, which was pretty incredible. So that was that story. I helped end world hunger by helping put on the U.S. Open of competitive eating. So I hope you enjoyed that story. This has been this week's episode of Life's a Biz. We'll see you next week.
Life's a Biz!
But anyway, any final thoughts on Spider-Man Homecoming?
I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do now in the future, moving forward. Like a lot of people, like, I'm intrigued by the Marvel Universe.
Oh, yeah.
And how Spider-Man as an Avenger is going to, like, evolve.
Mm-hmm.
It was sweet. Like, it was genuinely sweet, him being ushered into the Avenger facilities and finding out that he's an Avenger now.
Being
offered an Avengership, I should say.
Oh, dude, we didn't even talk about that part.
Yeah, we could leave that out.
No. Like, dude, when Pepper was there, like, because in the past couple movies, she hasn't been in them.
Uh-huh.
And in Civil War, when Tony's presenting something, it's like, and now I'm Pepper or whatever. But she's not there. She's not in the movie.
Right.
And they're talking, like, he's like, oh, we're going through a rough patch or whatever. And, like, you think that they're going to, like, just get rid of Gwyneth Paltrow and, like, write Pepper out. But then, like, he's proposing. Like,
I wonder, yeah.
Like, she's there, they, like, and, she's, and they're like,
you know, like,
probably. I'm sure that's what it was. Yeah. Like, she just didn't have the contract to do more movies, and so, like, whatever. But then when they added her back in, I was like, yes. Like, I love the Pepper Potts, like, Tony
Stark.
Now,
what story. I wonder is if Pepper Potts becomes a superhero in some capacity.
I hope not.
In the comic books, I mean, like, if that's,
oh,
like, already.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea. But she's like, she's the thing that keeps Tony grounded, and, like, it's just, it was awesome that she was
Iron
back.
Iron Woman, hear me roar.
I was glad that she was back. But yeah, and then he turns down.
I'm proud of that,
Mr. Stark. That's pretty good. I'll give it to you.
My mom would laugh at that. Iron Woman, hear me roar. She would laugh at that. Nice. That's funny stuff. So.
Good times. But yeah, he gets offered the job, basically, that he wants the whole time.
Uh-huh.
He gets offered the job. And then he says no. And he's like, was this a test? And he's like, yes, it was. Good job, buddy. And then, like, turns out it wasn't a test. Like, he was going to be the newest Avenger.
Right. Yeah.
And that suit that they show is known as the Spider Armor suit.
The Tony Stark suit?
The one that he's going to give him at the very end.
Oh.
It's a newer version of the other suit.
And they don't give it to him? I forget what mm-hmm. happens. He leaves.
He gets the Karen suit back.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is still pretty badass.
Yeah. It's way badass.
Now, how'd you learn that? On the YouTube video?
Yep. Because it looked to
you
me.
You can find out everything on YouTube.
Yeah, because it looked to me like I think it's like Spider-Man 2096. It's like this. It's future.
That's a line of a comic book line.
It's like a storyline in the comics.
Right.
Like there's like a future thing where it's a future story, and he wears this future suit. That's what it looked like to me. But apparently, I'm wrong, and it's the Spider armor is what it's called.
Huh.
Yeah. It's like an Iron Man, Spider-Man. Crossover
right
suit
on.
Thing where it's like beefed up and
like imagine if Iron Man
was Spider-Man
right he could do a lot of damage.
That's what it was.
That's pretty
that's
badass.
Apparently what it is, but who knows. But he's like, I just like my Karen suit, thanks. Which I think he gets, like, they don't say that he gives
doesn't,
him back
don't
his old
they
suit.
Like imply that he has I don't know yeah. I don't remember
I don't remember exactly how it ended. Did but you stay it. For the credit scene and
I
the post credit scene?
I stayed for them all. Yep.
So the credit scene when he's in jail and he's like, he doesn't give him up. I think that's because he saved both his and his daughter's life. And uh-huh. so he feels like he owes it to not give up Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
But he's talking to the guy who has a big fat scorpion tattoo on his neck, who is apparently the same name as the scorpion from the villains. Like, there's a villain named Scorpion.
Uh-huh.
And so that guy now exists.
Like, I remember a scorpion. I remember the scorpion sting tail. I remember that.
So that guy exists in the universe now, too.
Right on. Yeah. Right on.
And then the very, 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 very end, post-credit scene.
So the Shocker's
scene.
Dead.
No. Well, there's a new Shocker.
Right.
But yes.
So because they haven't played with the Shocker that much.
Nope.
Like, they had him punch him around a little bit.
Yep.
But
he's, yep. And then the very, very end, post-credit scene.
The Shocker. Sorry. Go ahead.
Two fingers, baby. anyway. Did you like the very, very end post-credit scene?
I love that so much, I can't even stand it.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
It was probably
much.
My favorite one.
And Chris Evans is fantastic.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
At playing that and, like, playing it, like, straight.
Yep.
And having fun with it.
Oh,
it was
so good.
That was just great. And we don't have to say too much about it. But
no, it was good.
But go
wait,
see that.
If yeah. you see it, wait
like
for
every
the post-credits.
Like, clearly,
man.
Like, every
wait.
Marvel movie, you wait. And, like, most people wait. Like,
so
most people wait.
Good. That's what made it so good.
That was really good. That was really good.
It's a good one.
So we'll reference that in a few months.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, basically, overall, I freaking loved it. Like,
me too.
The only thing that, like I said, the only problem that I had is that it didn't seem like he had gotten the... have be responsible speech.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only
power.
I was like, he just is a whiny little butt that doesn't listen. Like, and Samantha said the same thing too. She's like, why isn't he listening? Like, if Tony
he's
Stark
15
is,
years old,
but if yeah. Tony Stark is telling you what to do and you're not doing it, like,
even at 15, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, it's like, come yeah. on, you're Spider-Man, dude. Like, you want to be an Avenger so bad, and then you're like fucking it all up by not yeah. following the rules, bro.
But it was all with good intentions, so
yeah.
So
yeah, which, you know, as an outsider, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. But it's still, it was like, come on, you should follow the rules. I keep saying one more thing, but it was very touching to me when Aunt May was like, what's going on with you? What's the matter? And he's like, I lost the Stark internship or whatever, because that's all he can say.
Right.
But, like, everything, and he literally lost everything at that moment. And it was like, ah, that was rough. Anyway, overall, I loved it. Go see it. Let us know what you thought. What about you, Beej? What you got?
Yet another winner from the Marvel.
Yeah.
From the Marvel Studios.
They're good.
Yeah. Well, you know, you haven't seen Wonder Woman yet, have you?
No.
I'm telling you, this last Wonder Woman is a good
yeah,
product.
I hear it's very, very good.
It's a good product.
Like,
so,
I'm sure I'm going to love the crap out of it.
Yeah, so you should see that because, yeah, it's easy to say a clearly another Marvel Studios winner.
Right.
Because they've really done a great job at doing that.
Yeah, they run the gamut, basically.
And DC's movies have been sketchy since in the last five
yeah,
years.
But Wonder Woman's their first real winner.
Since The Dark Knight and those movies.
Cool. Thanks out there for listening. Give us a rating and a review and all that stuff.
Yep, and we look forward to our bit from Mike Bissett from coming up soon. We look forward to a bit from Lennox Berglund, who's going to do something on something, and it's going to be good.
Yeah, it's all going to be good. New things, awesome stuff. And give us a call on our phone number. I'm going to plug it into the bumper at some point, but I mentioned it at the beginning of the episode, and there's a picture on Instagram and Facebook, so you can find the number. Give us a call. Pitch us your thing, and we'll play those when we get them. But for this week, this has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And we'll see you on the couch.
Life's a Binge!
Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Please leave us a rating and review on iTunes, Podomatic, and Stitcher. Follow us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. And be sure and check out lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the couch.